And once you find your spot, if you would like to just take a moment of silent prayer to just align your thoughts, confess any unconfessed sins, bring them to the foot of the cross where they belong, and you can have that reconciliation to allow the Holy Spirit to make this next hour worthy and count. And we'll get rolling. Father, there's just so many things going on in the world right now. The big picture, the small things. Just internationally, there's so many things. And here at home, there's so many things that we feel like we've got pressure and distractions from every angle that can be thrown at us. We feel like it's the heat's getting turned up. And we just want to thank you this morning for just number one, our protection and our freedom that so many people in Ukraine right now are fleeing from and not experiencing that freedom that you sent your son for us to be able to experience is not only spiritually but also physically, the freedoms that we're supposed to have in the way that you've designed law and governments to work. And we just want to pray for all those people that are fleeing their homes, fleeing their normalcy, fleeing their bedrooms, their comfort zones of their living rooms, their homes, just whatever brings them comfort and normalcy that they're just getting chased away from. And we just pray that you can protect those innocent people. It always seems that wars and things that conflicts that are started are because of people's arrogance and wants and needs and selfishness. And if we see some of that, you're exposing some of those evils and some of those truths on what some of the things are behind all this. And we just pray that you hold those people accountable. We just pray that the leaders of this country that are in Washington, that you bring integrity on these people, that you just call them to the carpet and bring the integrity and allow them to put their selfish motives and desires aside just to pad their bank accounts or whatever it is that they're chasing, that you allow them just to hold true to the position that they took in the government office to lead a nation and protect a nation and make a nation free. And we just pray for the division that's in this country right now and that's in so many places in this world that we can almost see things taking shape as you, I don't know why we question things as your prophecy. We see so many things being fulfilled that you've talked about, and it seems as there's so many things that are lining up. And I just ask that you can give us encouragement in this time. You've placed us here for this reason and this purpose of this time. You didn't have us born 100 years ago, 20 years ago, or however many years ago that you would have taken us off of this earth, but you've allowed us to be functioning here right now at this certain time. And I just pray that you can lean on each one of us to see what you need us to be doing in this time of need, because it's changing and it's changing rapidly. So just give us, each one of us, the courage to stand up for your truth, for what's right. It's when things go so bad, it's going to be easy to see the people that seem to have an answer or seem to have things together. And we just pray that you can help us to be those people, to be able to reach out and share your good news and the hope of you with the people that are going to want answers and want some normalcy and want some clarification and just all the chaos that's going on. So we just pray that you put us in that position. We want to pray for the people in Vinton this morning that are waking up and just having their earthly possessions that are destroyed, and all throughout Tama, Toledo, and down in Winterset and Norwalk and them other areas that have things that in the big picture are meaningless to the point of eternity. You tell us not to trust in the things that moth and rust and can destroy, and that's right along with what weather can destroy, not to put our trust and hope in that stuff, but put our trust in you. So we just pray that it people that were affected by this, that they don't get cynical towards you, that they don't have attitudes towards you, but they can see the bigger picture in the building of the foundations of what cannot be shaken or cannot be blown over, and that's the truth of you. So we just pray for those people this morning. We pray for so many of our little kids that are sick right now. We've got, just within our church, we've got the Shear families fighting some with Layla and Landon and little Benny and little Ray, just all those little ones that are sick and they just need your healing touch. We just pray for them this morning that you can just get them little ones healed up. And we pray this morning that the little ones downstairs that are learning, that you can just have the Holy Spirit run rampant down in that basement with the little kids this morning to just give them a firm foundation when they hear so many things getting taught about the anxiety and struggles and situations in this world, that they don't get let down and they don't get depressed and they don't get scared, but just give them a foundation of that childlike faith that we're supposed to have in you. And we just pray for this morning as we go through things with just prayer for one another and bringing things to your throne, your petitions and the praises and the things that we bring, that we can do it with true hearts, with true motives, with an attitude where we are humble enough and have that humility in us to truly turn things over to you like you've designed us to do. So we just pray that the Holy Spirit, you may just run rampant this morning up here in each one of us and allow us to use this time to fellowship with one another, to learn from one another and be encouraged by one another. In your Son's name we pray. Amen. So it's easy to get discouraged. We know that. There are many things that are going on in this world. I mean, it doesn't matter what we turn on for news or what internet source we look at, what Facebook, Instagram, whatever it is, it's all focused on this stuff that's happening in Ukraine with Russia right now. And the Bible tells us, obviously, we know that we're not supposed to, there's going to be rumors of wars and wars that are going to happen all throughout the presence of humans on this earth, and we know that. But when we see the stuff now, it's much easier to feel like we're attached and we're emotionally involved because everybody has a phone. This war is much different than ones in the past because of the filming, the instant attachment we can have and feel like we're there because of the ones that are there filming and document everything that's happening. Anybody that's fighting on either side can do that and send it out to the world immediately. So it does two things for us. It makes us, number one, aware of the situation of what's going on. It's hard for governments and the media to hide some of that stuff, but it also makes it easy for the governments and the media to control some of that stuff and to twist some of that stuff. So regardless of what your thoughts are or what our thoughts are or what you think about things, it's easy to get discouraged about it. No matter where you stand, no matter where you stand politically with it or politically with this nation or the things that's unraveling, it's easy to get discouraged. And we so often get discouraged about unpleasant circumstances. And obviously war is unpleasant. So if we look at this, why we turn to Philippians chapter 4 this morning is that it's Paul's advice is to turn that worrying into prayers. That's what God says, don't worry about. There's going to be wars. There's going to be rumors about wars. There's going to be all this stuff. But Paul's telling us, stop worrying. That's the way that it is. If you want to read that, follow along, is rejoice in the Lord always. Again, I say rejoice. Let your gentle spirit be known to all men that the Lord is near. Be anxious for nothing, but in everything by prayer and supplication with thanksgiving, let your requests be made known to God. And the peace of God, which surpasses all comprehension, will guard your hearts and your minds in Christ Jesus. It's things that we can't comprehend. It's the wars. It's the things that are going on. It's the weather patterns, the destruction that's happening. It's things that our brains, we can't comprehend. Of why does all this stuff happen? And the truth of the matter is that our brains aren't meant to comprehend that. Our brains are meant to turn those over and just put our trust in Jesus, that God, you are in control, you do know what's going on, You've laid this out, every foundation stone of this earth you have laid. Every building block on that foundation you have laid, and it's part of your purpose on whatever that looks like. Someday when we die and we're standing there face to face, we're going to get that revealed to us. But that's not our job right now to be able to be so wrapped up, because I find myself guilty of it too. When all this started, I could hardly sleep. I just was looking and updates and looking and saying, you just can't believe it. And pretty soon you're engulfed in it. And when you're engulfed in it, your normalcy and what we're supposed to be doing goes to the wayside. And then that hope that we have, that hope that we're supposed to have, that attitude of comfort and encouraging to those around us, we don't have because we're wrapped right up in it, and then we're cynical or we're complaining about it or we're worrying about it or we can't fathom it or whatever it is, and it kind of overtakes our life. And that's what Satan ultimately is using fear and struggles in those circumstances to do, because it takes us then out of the battle that we're supposed to be doing. And that is why when I pray and when I think that, God, you truly did design me for this time on earth, that's real. That's an attitude that we need to have. We weren't designed to be able to get sucked into it and get carried away with all the disruption and distractions. We're supposed to take that and we're supposed to make light out of that and be that encouraging, be that light that people that can't comprehend it. Because this world, to people that do not know who Jesus is, this world is a scary place. And they can't comprehend it. And they can't comprehend you when you have a good attitude. Not necessarily a good attitude, but an attitude of hope and perseverance through it. They're going to look at it and say, how is this not bothering you? How do you sleep at night knowing that we're on the brink of nuclear war and World War III or whatever can happen, and the push of a button, so many things can change? How can you sleep good at night? How do you not lay in your bed at night worrying and struggling and having all this anxiety over that? Because that's a thought of ours. And if we dwell upon that and we start thinking about that, we then get carried away on that train and we're taken out of the effectiveness of the battle that we need to be in. So Paul is saying, turn our worries into prayer. And you look at our inner attitudes. If you want to write something down, this is a quote, and I don't know where it came from, but our inner attitudes don't have to reflect our outward circumstances. And how awesome is that? That our inner attitudes don't have to be because of all of the chaos and disruption that's going around us. It doesn't have anything to do with that. What does peace look like? It's not absence of conflicts. If we say, we want peace, what does that look like? We'll get rid of all the wars and the conflicts. It's not about good feelings. Well, peace would be if everybody just walks around and we're happy and we feel good all the time. Well, peace would just be when everything goes right. And I don't have to worry about everything. Everything just lines up. It's all good. Then I can have peace. And that's the wrong view of what peace looks like. Fleshly and worldly, that is what peace is defined as. But we will not have peace until we submit ourselves under God's control. That is then how we will have that peace. That is how we will have peace when this battle rages on, when the struggles are real, when the world is falling apart. Because we're going to look at their earthly definition of peace and we're going to say, we are so far from peace that then is going to turn into our life and we're going to start having issues in our life because we can't relax because of what's happening in the world. When we're not designed to worry about what's happening in the world. Because that's not our problem. That's not where we put our trust. That's not where we relax. That's not where we put our hope. And you say, well, what is that then? How do you... If we want to, that all sounds good, but if you flip over a few pages to Colossians in the first part, you say in verse 1, chapter 15, so just turn over a few pages. If you look at that, you say, well, how can you be so sure of that? That all sounds good, that I'm supposed to put my trust into God, that I'm supposed to know and relax that God is in control. That all sounds good, we hear it, but how do I know that that's real? And in Colossians 1:15 it says, He is the image of the invisible God, this is speaking of Jesus, the firstborn of all creation, for by Him all things were created, both in the heavens and on earth, visible and invisible, whether thrones or dominions or rulers or authorities. You mean He created the state of Russia right now? with Putin being in control? All things have been created through him and for him. He is before all things, and in him all things hold together. You mean it doesn't hold together because of the United States government? It doesn't hold together because of the Ukrainian armies? It doesn't hold together because of the United Nations? It doesn't hold together because of NATO? It's not. It's because God is the head over everything. That he created everything. Visible to us, and then really blow your mind and say invisible to all the spiritual world, all the spiritual dominion. God is still in control of all that stuff. So for us, that's what Paul's saying, is to take that worrying that we wake up to and turn it over and pray. That's why it fits awesome with communion this morning, and how we do communion and we pray together as a church body and we pray for one another, is because we all have stuff. We all, the Bible says that to confess our sins to one another. And it isn't meaning that I'm going to go out on the street and I'm going to go pull some random dude off and say, hey, I have a problem with alcoholism. He's going to look at me and say, yeah, obviously you're drunk right now, because what are you telling me that for? To be together, to confess those sins to one another, those problems, those challenges, those things, that's today. That's communion. That's our church. To say, hey, God, I'm struggling here. I need help. Then we can pray together as a body for that. Not all the details, not all the gossip starts, and that's what's hard, is it sometimes turns to gossip, and it doesn't need that. It doesn't need all the gory details of maybe what it is. God knows what you're struggling with. God knows what your internal battles are. And those are things that so many times I find myself, when I have problems, I lay my head on my pillow at night, and those are the problems that don't make me sleep at night. The stuff that I'm struggling with. See, I get the big picture that God's in control of this world, whatever. Whatever happens, happens. We're just along for the ride. But it's those internal struggles that keep you up at night. And those are the things that, if we can pray for one another and we can help do that, that alleviates that. So, real quick, prayer is, we'll just cover real quick what prayer is. And if you want scripture verses to these, I can get them to you. I'm not going to give all the scripture verses to these. But prayer is bringing God praises and petitions. So when we pray together, what is a petition, a need, a supplication? When it says that that we bring him prayer and supplications, it's a need. Supplication is actually begging. You go to him with that request and you ask and you beg him for it. Do we have enough confidence in God that we can go to him with something and truly ask and beg him for something? Bring him your praises and petitions. It's our conscience dependence on God. When we pray, you're depending on God. You're relying on him. Otherwise, what are you praying for? Do you truly rely on God that when you bring him your petitions and your supplications and your prayers, do you truly rely on him? Because otherwise, what are you praying for? If you don't truly believe that God can make that happen and do that and work with that, then what do we waste our time praying for? Prayer is where we go to have God intervene in our lives. It's to acknowledge our need of God. Prayer is a channel in which God's blessings and power are brought into human reality. Prayer is where we see things work. That's where God reveals himself. How many times have you prayed for something and you've seen it and you have no other reason of explanation other than to know that that is directly from God answering your prayers? Prayer is the means by which God makes his will known to man. Prayer is what makes the hand of God move. Prayer is how we experience God's peace. And that ties into what Paul's talking about. How do we experience that peace? Is because we depend on him. We don't depend on the rulers in this world. We don't rely on Washington. We don't rely on any of that stuff. We put our dependence in God. That is then how we can have that peace that we're all striving so hard to find and that we're all so worried about not having in this world. It's because this world is completely opposite of what God is. So those two things will never align. So it's our job then to say, I'm going to trust one or the other. Which one am I going to trust? Which one am I going to rely on? Because so many times we try to rely on our earthly things, and we all know where we end up when we do that. The earthly answers always end up backfiring. Some are instantaneously, some it takes a few years. So we need to try to change ourselves and try to mold ourselves to being under His control, submitting ourselves to Him being in control, and saying, God, I rely on You. I just need to show up. What are You trying to use me for? What are You trying to do with me? What are You trying to let me see through this problem or this situation, that thing that I can't sleep with at night that just bothers me? What are You trying to teach me through this? What are You trying to bring to light in this situation? And that's when you ask. You pray. Because He'll reveal that to you. So prayer is very important. And as we do our communion, if there's anybody new that hasn't done communion with us, what we do with communion is how we're going to sit together as a church, and we're going to just go through the rows and we're going to pray together as a church. And it doesn't need to be public prayer, never needs to be anything big, long, and full of big words that people can't understand to try to make ourselves feel holy or like we know more than other people. Short, sweet, to the point, and real. Because that's our relationship with God. It needs to be to the point, it needs to be real. So we'll get together, and we're just going to go through, and we're going to pray, and then we'll take communion, and then we'll keep going. So if we want to, we'll probably take this side and go over this way, if that works. I think there's more people on this side. So we'll...